It was the early 1990s. I had a job with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, living and working in group homes for adults with developmental disabilities. I was also starting a master's program in special education at Johns Hopkins. At the house where we lived, I had some things stored in the corner of the garage. Now, these things weren't valuable, and I didn't really need them. But one day, it felt very important that I check on these things to make sure they were okay. So I did, and everything was fine. But the next day, the feeling returned even stronger, and I felt like I had to check on everything again. And this kept happening. And then other things started to seem unusually important, too. Everything had to be symmetrical and level. Doors had to be all the way opened or all the way closed. With my schoolwork, I felt a need for perfection that was often so intense that it was nearly impossible to get anything done. And this list of new problems kept growing. And it was very time-consuming. And it was also scary because I didn't know what was wrong with me, and because I didn't know if this was going to keep getting worse. And then one day there was a shift, and it got much, much worse. I couldn't free myself from the feeling that I could inadvertently do or think something that would send myself or my loved ones to hell when we died. Now, this was especially weird because I don't believe in hell. I'm a Christian, but I'm the type of Christian who believes in the validity of other faiths, and I believe that God is a loving God who wants us to take care of each other. But this feeling was as real as a gun to my head. And it was constant. I could only shut it off if I was completely focused on something else, and often not even then. It filled all the empty spaces. On top of this, I developed a whole new set of behaviors, which I hid from others as best I could. Because of the significance of the number 666, if I saw license plates with any pattern of sixes on them, I felt like I had to keep looking at other license plates until I had seen enough of them without a pattern of sixes, even if it meant driving past my home at night and circling the neighborhood. If I looked out a window and I saw birds flying in a downward direction, which you could say is in the direction of hell, I had to keep looking out the same window until I saw birds flying up. My girlfriend bought us tickets to see my favorite band, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And in the weeks leading up to the concert, I listened to one of their songs that I had never heard before, in which they mock fire and brimstone Christians. After I heard those lyrics, it just felt too dangerous to attend, and I insisted that we skip the concert. I also insisted that nobody else could use the tickets either. While these behaviors, and there was many more than I just shared with you, these behaviors were really challenging, the most difficult thing by far was the constant fear, which was ever present in my life. The library on the Johns Hopkins Homewood campus is a little different in that it starts at ground level and goes down 4 floors into the earth. I was on the 3rd floor down when I stumbled upon a book called Obsessive Compulsive Disorder in Children and Adolescents. I cracked this book open and I ended up reading it more intensely than I've read anything before or since. What I remember most is the firsthand accounts from people who were suffering from the various forms of OCD. They described the ritualistic behaviors and the intrusive thoughts that were part of their lives. And I felt like I was reading a book about myself. I finally knew what was wrong with me. Flash forward 4 years, and I had been to see 3 different therapists, and none of them had been able to help me. I don't think they knew much about OCD, and I don't think they had much faith that I could get better. The optimism that I had gained from my discovery in the Hopkins Library was long gone. On my way to meet therapist number 4, I was waiting at the elevator, and I was joined by a guy a little bit older than myself. The elevator was taking a really long time, and this guy sighed a little bit, and then he opened up to the door to the stairwell, and he ran up. The elevator finally came, and a few minutes later, I walked into the therapist's office, and I could see that my therapist was the same guy. Now, maybe he just hated being late, but it seemed like he had just run up 6 flights of stairs to get that first moment right. Over the next several months, he put the same energy into every moment of every session. I would explain the repetitive mess going on inside my head, and somehow he would get inside there with me and help me find my way out. Over and over, he helped me to challenge the disorder that had defeated me every day for over 6 years, no matter how hard I tried. And together, we turned the tables on that SOB. Within 6 months, I was pretty much better, and within a year, I was completely free. And I've remained free from obsessive-compulsive disorder for over 20 years. I need to thank my wife for sticking with me during that difficult time. Sorry about those tickets. And I need to thank Dr. Jeffrey Lading, who healed my mind. I'm grateful to him for every moment of quiet and calm that I've enjoyed in the past 2 decades.